It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
We are back, WFO Radio, back once again, talking to winners in the National Hot Rod Association Camping World Drag Racing Series. Matt Smith going to be on this show, going to check in with Matt, see how he's doing, the big win out there in Norwalk, and getting ready for Denver, the Western Swing, in a few weeks. If you're out there, you love Pro Stock Motorcycle, you're going to want to share the show. You know, everybody who loves the bikes always say, you know, the bikes don't get enough attention. I agree. All kinds of great stuff, great racing, the countdown, the battle for 10th. It's going to be great. So let's get the word out. We got the champ and the most recent race winner, Matt Smith, going to be on just seconds from now. Before we bring on Matt, though, I do want to tell you about the people who make it all possible for me to do this and talk to drag racers every day. Yesterday, we had Alan Reinhart on. Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to have Britt Koepner is going to be back to finish the conversation that we started a few weeks ago. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And maybe even connect with Ernie Francis Jr., who won the SRX race. That's not definite just yet, but that's why you got to subscribe. You got to click the bell, never miss a show, because you just don't know what's going to happen on WFO Radio. You remember the whole Kyle Larson win streak started right here on WFO Radio. The people who make it possible, Total Seal Piston Rings, there's one. TotalSeal.com, leader in ring seal technology. Total Seal is in a lot of engines out there. They help reduce friction. They can help you with the rules that you're working under and abiding by the rules, but still getting maximum horsepower. Got a new episode of Hidden Horsepower on Friday from Shaver Competition Racing Engines out there in California. Lake Speed Live, going to be great. Check that out. 1 p.m. Eastern time. So like the Total Seal pages, check them out, and you'll be able to see the show live. Everybody's loving Hidden Horsepower. That's what they tell me, at least. And Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, hot sauces and spice rubs, everything good. Marvin Rodak's got grills, got ceramic grills, Primo ceramic grills, all kinds of stuff down there in Fort Worth, Texas. Give him a call. Check out the Rodax experience. You will love it. 817-924-6821. Samtech.edu. You go to the race teams, you go to the race shops, you're likely to find a Samtech grad somewhere in there, certainly in Factory Showdown and Pro Stock, definitely. But go to Samtech.edu. Check out the website. They're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. And it's just a great education, great starting place, and they can even place you. And maybe you don't even like racing. Maybe you want to go into aerospace. It works for that also. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, and their newest graduate, Autumn Height, which is kind of a cool story that Robert puts Autumn through his school. And he told us on the show just the other day that he was going to make sure that Autumn got the appropriate education early on driving a race car. And so what does that mean? Go to Frank Hawley. Now, you might not want to become a professional driver, but you might want to drive a dragster, and he can help you with that. Go to frankhawley.com. Also, shout out to Nitro Fish, where you can get our 10th anniversary t-shirt, and always swing by and get a lot of gear at the Nitro Fish trailer. And of course, our own WFO Radio store at WFORadio.com. All right, let's bring him on. He is the champ. He is the most recent race winner, and he got the job done out there in Norwalk, Mr. Matt Smith. Matt, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Good, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. You know, going through another week, we dodged a hurricane down here. I did not get to race against Flying Ryan Ayler in Tampa, which was really the plan for today, was the big match race, me and Flying Ryan. You know, he challenged me, and I was going to drive up there and I was going to beat him, but unfortunately the hurricane intervened. So instead we get to speak with you, which I think is great.
Well, I guess Flying Ryan got lucky then, didn't he? Not to get beat by you, right?
Well, listen, I got to say, conjuring up a hurricane is some creative ways of getting out of the race, but it worked this time. Yeah. He's yellow. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
No, I was thrilled to be able to, you know, we're going to do this Joe versus Pro kind of thing, and hopefully it catches on, right? He's got these two Mustangs. He's got a drag strip over there. We were going to do it. I love the idea of racing. I feel like I can compete in a stock body, you know, factory car with very minimal work, get off the starting line and hold the pedal down and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you've raced before. You know how it works, and you know, if both cars are set up equal, then you should be good. But if not, you swap cars. If he beats you the first time, you get up in his car and he jumps in yours, you know. So I think that's the way it needs to work. And then if you're both 1-1, you flip for the finals.
Oh, really? See, look at you instituting rules already. But I don't want to have this conversation, because what if I got a tip? What if I got a tip on which of the faster cars is available, and I just talked my way into that car as, you know, this guy who was challenged? I think I should get to pick the car, Matt.
Okay. Well, then if you know that, that's all good.
But I don't know that, of course, because if I did know that, that would be terrible. I'm just using a total hypothetical here. But what's funny is this whole, like, you know, negotiation and everything, that's stuff that comes from like the outlaw grudge racing world. I'm sure you've been involved in some of that over the years.
Yeah, you know, I like to race, you know, fair and heads up as much as we can. And, you know, if somebody has an advantage, you know, they need to be helped a little bit. And I've always been about that. I mean, we work hard in the shop to get a little bit of performance advantage, you know, and we have really good power, but in the grand schemes of things, to make the class healthy, to keep everything going, everybody has to be competitive. And I feel like as long as every brand is within 300 to 400 of each other, then we're all competitive. If not, you know, help somebody out a little bit. And that's kind of what happened this year. They helped Suzuki's out with giving them, you know, some stuff to catch up to the V-Twins, you know, and I think they've done a good job at it. They might have given them too much, but that's hearsay. We'll wait till they actually show all their hands and then maybe pull them back.
Well, exactly. And this is something, you know, ProMod and your dad, there were some rules changes, and they've changed some rules changes now to allow that auto shift back. And you just, it's never just going to freeze, right? Like, I think the days of like set the rule and let it go and never talk about it ever again, I think those days are over if you're talking about multiple manufacturers. And Top Fuel and Funny Car, they don't have to worry about that stuff. Everybody's driveline is pretty much the same. But in Pro Stock Bike, where you've got multiple styles of engine competing against each other, Pro Modified, Factory Showdown, there's going to have to be constant monitoring of all of these things. And I'm frankly used to it. You just said you feel pretty comfortable about the way it is right now. So what more do we need?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as long as they, I know they got some fast stuff. You know, Steve Johnson went 72 this year already. Angel's went 202 mile an hour in Suzuki. So I really think that if Angel put Steve's front half package together, she'd have the best bike out there. You know, but right now she hasn't done that, and Vance Nines hasn't figured that part of the equation out on their motors. Steve's obviously figured it out for his combination, but Steve can't run the back half numbers that the Vance Nines motors can. So, you know, it's a little give and take right now, but if they all put their heads together and they get the same package, they'll definitely be faster. And I think NHRA had to pull them back, but that's NHRA's job to do it. And we're going to keep trying to win races as much as we can.
Exactly. We've got people checking in out there on the social media, Jim saying good morning. And Midget Man 34 went to the Saucon motorcycle event today. Were you there? He wants to know if you were there.
No, I was not there. I'm in the shop working hard. Me and Angie's in here. We're trying to get ready so we can leave for Denver next Tuesday. As everybody knows, Denver's a total different deal for us. Pro Stock Car's not there this year for the first time, I think, ever. And, you know, you have to change a lot of stuff. Typically, in the past, we've built some new motors for Denver to try some different stuff. But right now, we are currently running our existing motors that we run everywhere. We just have to do a lot of tuning changes, gear ratio changes. And that's the biggest thing that you have to do.
There you go. Blake saying, what's up? Monica checking in. Everybody pretty much checking in. If you guys got a question for Matt, Matt's always been very open and honest. And we hear about those gear changes in Pro Stock. I know they got to pull second quicker than anywhere else on the tour up there on the mountain. I would imagine it's the same for you.
Same for us. You know, advantage that we have is, you know, Pro Stock Car only has 5 gears. We have 6 gears. So, you know, we rev quicker, we rev faster, and we turn them higher. So that's the key to running at Denver, is you have no air up there. So you have to leave higher, you have to run higher RPM, and it normally tears up a lot more stuff than normally, you know, where we run everywhere else. But it's one race a year, and the Bandamares, it's a beautiful facility. I love racing there. I've won there 2 times. I think we set the track ET and speed record there last year, qualified number 1. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going back up there for the challenge, or 2 years. Absolutely. Let me put it that way.
Well, right, because we didn't have one last year. And isn't that funny to say? I'm so thankful that we're back and we're able to enjoy these races and go to these places that I didn't get to go to last year. And they didn't get to see us either. And so I'm expecting to see a lot of great race fans. I've heard great things about what's going to be happening out there in terms of the crowd and all of that. But we got to go back to Norwalk and talk about some of the great things that happened out there. Like, for instance, when you have a full field or more good quality bikes than you do have positions, it makes qualifying very fun. And I can tell you, as a spectator there, you know, up close and personal, watching you guys go back and forth with the low ET and qualifying runs of the session, at like, that was fun stuff, man. That's what it's supposed to be. And the rivalry that came down to the final round, that was a race all through qualifying, you and Steve Johnson. That made it fun. Was it fun for you?
Yes, it was definitely fun. You know, me and Steve have had our differences. Everybody knows that. What a lot of people don't know is I helped Steve Johnson years and years and years ago before I even started racing Pro Stock Motorcycle. He raced Slick 50 Suzuki, and my dad was sponsored in Pro Stock car by Slick 50. And I kind of hung out with Steve and helped him with some stuff back in the day. And, you know, he's probably one of the ones that drove me to want to race a motorcycle. You know, I definitely looked up to John Myers and Angel and Dave Schultz back in the day. But Steve was actually the one that I could actually go over there and put some thought in and try to help improve their program back then. And, you know, honestly, I think I really helped his program over the last couple of years. I mean, the whole hobby, pro racer, the hobby thing. It wasn't a slap to him. It was just basically telling the world what goes on out there. You have people that race full-time, you have people that race part-time that have a normal job. And that's what I called a hobby racer. And basically Steve Johnson took that to the next level and actually got up from being a hobby racer and started working on his own stuff and teamed up with Chris Mayhay, from what I understand, Pro Stock Car, to help him with his motor program. And now look at what they've done, you know. So if I wouldn't have said that to him, Steve might be in the same situation he was 2 years ago. He'd just be cruising along out there. But I feel like maybe I helped him get to the next level. I'm not taking credit for it, but he's worked his butt. Him and Jock have worked his butt off to get where they're at with help from McGahey. And now they are definitely a contender, especially with the new fuel and the new motors out there.
Well, exactly. And we've talked to Steve about it, and that as a motivational moment, right? Like, motivating you, sometimes a rival will motivate you more than you can motivate yourself, that burning whatever it is. And that definitely annoyed him, but it definitely sparked something. And look at him now. Like, those guys are going to, they're quick. They won a race. They made a final round of the next race. And I think you're going to be dealing with Steve Johnson all year long. But there was something said, and I think you answered it here, and I appreciate it. Like, if Steve and Jock were on the side of the road with flat tires, 10 miles outside of Denver, and here comes Matt and Angie along, and you see it's them, do you stop and help?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to pull over and help them. I mean, you know, as a pro stock bike community, I think we would all help each other any way we can to get to the race and all that. Now, maybe if it's at the track, I might not help him, you know, whatever, because he's already there. But the simple fact is, when somebody's in need to get to the track because they have to fulfill their sponsor requirements and show up for the race and do all that stuff, that's how they make money. That's how they get there. If they can't get there, then it hurts our class and it hurts them too. So I'm all about getting people there and all that. But when we get to the track, we're focused on our team. We have four bikes the majority of the time. And, you know, at Norwalk, we qualified all four bikes in top nine, almost had all of them in the top eight, you know, but slid down there in the last qualifying session and Scotty got bumped to ninth. And, you know, we got a good team. We've won three out of the five races this year. I've won two, Scotty's won one. So I think we have the best team out there, and I know the target's on our back, and it's only a matter of time before, you know, some more people step up to the plate, and we're waiting for them. We're ready for the challenge.
You mentioned qualifying. Let's just go through the round by round. First round, you went up against Gianna Salinas, and it's great to see her back out there and able to get through her, though. And then setting up the battle against Flying Ryan Ayler. Speaking of battling Flying Ryan, he had a problem, but you had, I don't want to call it a bracket bike because it was super quick, but 81.8, 81.6, and then you got to run Eddie in the semifinals. Let's pick it up there where those guys are quick. They're now back on the tour. They're back out. They've got their new program going on and they're picking up the pace, but boy, they're down there in the points. So they need to win rounds because there are a lot of good quality bikes in only 10 positions. So tell me about the run against Eddie. Other side of the ladder, it's Joey and Steve. Steve gets around Joey with that 79.7. You get around Eddie.
Yeah, we got around Eddie with, I think, an 80 with a zero.
Yes.
You know, Eddie, Andrew, Angel, that whole team, they're the we called them the Death Star back in the day because it was the black trailer. I mean, they would dominate everything. And the last couple, 2 or 3 years, I mean, I think we've had their number. You know, we've really worked hard and pushed harder. But they got the same equipment as we got. They have the same body package. They got the same aero package that we have. They still have that Harley motor. And that's what they're running right now is the Harley motor in the V-twins. It's good. I know it's good. You know, we can't buy one. I mean, I guess we can if we had enough money, but I don't have enough money to buy one of those motors. So we'll just continue to run our S&S motors, which is doing really good. But to run Eddie, he's a four-time world champ, I think. And, you know, it's they're tough. They're tough, you know, and I step my program up every time I got to run Andrew, Eddie, or Angel because I know they have stuff that can beat me at any time. And it just gets me that next level. It pumps me up more, and I'm ready for that challenge with him. We took him out in the semis, and I've had his number this year so far. So hopefully I can keep that going the rest of the year.
Well, it's going to be a long year. And I was looking at the points just yesterday and thinking about those guys at the bottom of the top 10. And Jerry's on the outside, and you got Corey Reed on the inside. Boy, it would be a big deal if they could, you know, make the top 10. And that's what it's supposed to be about. So there's a lot of exciting matchups that are going to come down. But I think because of all the history that you mentioned with the hobby racer stuff, like, boy, has anything been milked more than the hobby racer comments? But here it is in the final round. There's Steve. He's back and he's fast and he wants to win. And he's got the new cylinder head and they've made the most of it and talked to Jock. And Jock is like new lease on life. Like that guy's in another world, just being on the world. Right. So tell me about preparing for the final round against Steve. There's no love lost. We know that the personalities just kind of, you guys aren't like great buds, even though you worked together in the past, but no one wants to lose that race. Like that's it. No one wants to lose any race, but that one in particular, tell me about your preparation and you had to step it up. Like he had been outrunning you and you needed to find some performance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he'd been outrunning us a couple hundreds and we narrowed it down to about 3,000ths, you know, for the final round. And, you know, I always have a little something left in my cards, I feel sure of. And I just went up there with a mentality. You don't want to lose to anybody, all right? But you get all the way to the finals, and my whole goal is, and this is where I try to learn and I make myself better for the next race or the next time I'm at Norwalk, and that's why I think I do better every time I go to another race or I come back to that racetrack next year, I do good at it again. I go and learn. And that's what this sport's about. You have to learn. You learn from mistakes and you learn what to do and what not to do. I'd already had second place, Joe. It was just me and Steve left. So I've already got second place. So I know that I've got runner up at the worst case scenario. So I go up there and I'm like, you know what? I think I can step it up a little bit. I need to make a little clutch change. I need to make a little tuning change. I need to see if this thing will stick. I've been getting my butt beat by him with 60 foots, and that's all I've heard is 104s, 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 104s. You know what? The track was cooling down. We can't run 104s in 100-degree track temp, 120-degree track temp. But that track temp got down to 80-some degrees, and I said, you know what? I'm shooting the moon. I'm throwing everything I got at it. I'm putting some power back in low gear. And what happened? When I let that clutch go, it about snatched my neck off and went 104. And it lit the scoreboard up with a 78 at 200. And we took the wind light. And it just happened to be that it just stuck. And I think his bike did stick over there. He went 106.
Wow. Well, I love hearing that because that's what it's about. And that's the stuff that we kind of miss sometimes, which, you know, the drama, you're back there at the pit, you're making these calls, you're making these decisions. And thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it was a very exciting. Steve, I talked to him a little bit via text and he says he wasn't his best run. that he had made just across the board. You guys were side by side in terms of reaction time. You're 22 to his 23, but he backed up a little bit, 683, 6 at 196. So you get the win. You run 200 in the final. You win the race, and you're going again. Matt Smith, four-time champ, going again. But I think this year is maybe a little more competitive than we've seen some years in the past. You mentioned Denver, but just talk about winning in Norwalk and all the significance with Bader and the ice cream scoop and the big crowd. And I know it was rain delayed, which is a little bit of a bummer because we didn't have that, you know, the massive crowd that was there. But that's a milestone win whenever you can win that ice cream scoop.
Yeah. So right here.
There it is.
There's two. Let's see. Hold on. There it is. There's two of them.
Yeah.
I've now got two of them. And, you know, to go to Bader's track and, you know, it's all these tracks that do the little specialty things. It's really, really cool. I love going to tracks that give that little extra thought into it and have something besides just, we all want a Wally, but it's those little things like that make it sentimental, that the track puts thought into it and gives you something special and extra. And man, I live up for those stuff. I live up to getting those little items at the different tracks and all that. I wish all the tracks would do it because it makes it fun. It makes it fun to go to those tracks. And, you know, we have a great time doing it. But, you know, hands down, we had a great race. I think one of the big factors in that race, everybody knows it was so hot there. We had a lot of water in the air. But Denso, they make this thing that's called a Moving Cool. And Moving Cool is a little portable air conditioning unit. And everybody knows the bike guys, we have a hard time. You see these things on the pro stock car guys, they hook up the water chillers to them and they cool their cars down quick and all that. Well, the bike guys, we have nothing to cool our stuff down, fans. If it's 100 degrees outside, that fan's not gonna cool the stuff down. Motor stays hot, you lose performance and all that. This new deal that Denso come out, it's called Moving Cool. It's a portable air conditioner. We have two hoses coming off of it. One goes to each head on the motor. Within 7 minutes, Joe, the thing's already down to 70 degree temperature after a run. And it's amazing. It kept our performance all weekend. I take it from bike to bike to bike through the pits, you know, between rounds. And it works. It keeps our stuff cool. And, you know, that's the advantage, especially if they're at the finals. We had 35 minutes to go from semifinals to finals. And that's another reason Steve might have slowed up because he just didn't get his motor cool. But,
wow,
you know, that's just where we're at, you know.
Is that proprietary? Is that available for purchase? Or is everybody going to go order one right now since you mentioned it?
It's available. It's available to everybody. We started doing it last year. There's one on the Midway. They can go to the Denso K&N trailer that's on the Midway. And there's one there for show and all that. And if you want to order one, order one. I'm telling you, it's worth it because I can promise you, you get in hot situations, you just can't get the things cool enough. And you lose power. When anybody knows, the hotter it gets, the more power you lose.
There you go. All right. We got some questions out there. Before we get to the questions, I want to mention that you and Angie did double up on the weekend. As much as she did go out second round to Steve, she won the ice cream eating contest, which is now famous because we've done it for more than 1 year in a row. So, and she is the champion. Alan Reinhart really called into question her performance. I thought it was clean and okay. And certainly in the gray area of the rules, which are left there on purpose for our entertainment. But you were there, you filmed it, you were on scene. What did you think? Were you proud of Angie for her great victory?
Absolutely. I'm very proud of her to win that thing. You know, basically, rules are rules. If you know the rules and you do a little something to get by the rules, you're still legal. You know, it's no different in our category and every other category out there. So she fudged the rules a little bit with the ice cream with a spoon. We used a metal spoon instead of a plastic spoon because everybody knows that ice cream's hard at Norwalk, coming straight from the thing. It's nice and cold, hard, and those plastic spoons will break and they don't dig in. And she took her Yeti cup with hot water and a silver spoon, and she dunked that thing in the hot water and made that thing hot, and it dug right through like butter, and she gobbled that stuff down. And the last time we won together, she won Vegas and I won the championship, and we double up again and she won the ice cream contest and I won the race. So we're up for the challenge for both of us. Whenever they want to do contests, we'll both get in it somehow or another.
And thank goodness for you guys, by the way. Like, the inside and the behind the scenes is we're trying to put it together and we want to have interesting people, funny and fun people, some star power. And so we thought it went to Angie, and she's like, uh-oh, what do you guys want from me? And we're like, we want you to be in the ice cream eating contest. And she just volunteered right away. But the question is now, since we're making rules, should it be no metal spoons, or should it be bring your own utensil, everything allowed, or should we supply the plastic spoons and those become the spec? That's the question.
I think you should allow the metal spoons for everybody. Just for the simple fact, those plastic spoons will break. And then if you break one, then you lose time because you only have a minute to do it. So I would just say, let everybody use the metal spoons, you know, and they just have to gobble it up. You got a minute to eat all that stuff. So well, the funny thing is, I don't understand how 1 pound of ice cream, we went to the scales after that and her bike was 3 pounds overweight. So I guess 1 pound of ice cream goes to 3 pounds in the body. So it's pretty funny that way, but all in all, it was a good deal for her and she come out the victory.
I was excited when she, you know, qualified well and everything, because I told her, it's like, hell, if you miss by a thou, it's our fault, right? So you need to qualify. People want to know, like Roger Richards, see, why isn't that spoon on the trophy shelf? Yeah, that is a good point. A little creative thinking. People like it. Bring that scoop next year, and Angie can use it as a spoon, because she will be defending her title next year. That's part of the deal. The champ, as Jim Campbell did. And next year, I think we're going to have to weigh out the ice cream. Campbell was right. He seemed to get a little bit larger portion than everybody else. But what are you going to do? All right. Serious questions now. Jim wants to know, can't imagine how fast Matt would go on a 4-valve Suzuki. A lot of people are asking, what about a Suzuki, Matt? I know you've got you've just refined this program so well, and they want you to get off it and do something different. I think you need to ride this until it stops working. But I know you're thinking about what the next combination might be down the road.
Well, we're going to run a Suzuki before long. I don't know about this year, but we have one that it's supposed to show up here Saturday, and we're going to start working on it. And we're going to try, we haven't decided which way we're going to go with either the Vance 9's head or the Monstar head. I've talked to both parties, and, you know, can't quite get an answer out of one of them. What I want to do, I want to be able to work on my own stuff. I don't want to buy something and I can't mess with it. So right now I'm talking with Eddie and Terry about, you know, getting one of their heads and me being able to work on it also at our shop here. Because, of course, we have an engine dyno, we have a chassis dyno, so we want to make stuff fast. And my goal is to make a Suzuki faster than our V-twins and go out there and prove to the world that we can do a Suzuki also. Everybody thinks that we can only run V-twins. I can promise you, hands down, if I had the money behind me to run a Suzuki, I would be faster than our V-twin stuff with what's out there right now. Hands down, 150%. I'm telling you right now. But there's people out there that's talked to me about running Suzuki. I'm going to do it. It's just going to take me a little bit more time with not having a budget to do it, because I'm going to do it out of my own pocket. But I'm going to prove to everybody how fast it is. But if somebody wants to come in and give me some money to prove to that, I will gladly do it. And I promise you, you won't regret it.
Wow. I love that. I love the swagger. And I like the fact that you want to do it. And that's what people want to see. I'll tell you about that in a second. But like Derek mentions, the last time you were on, you were talking about the Cyclone 17 fuel, or we talked about that a little bit earlier in the year. Have you had a chance to check that out? Have you gone down that road, and has your opinion evolved at all?
Our team is the only one that's not running the Cyclone fuel. Every other pro stock motorcycle team out there is running the fuel. That's where everybody stepped up. Everybody stepped up and kind of caught us a little bit. They haven't gained horsepower from working on our stuff. They gained about pouring that stuff in. We've poured it in. It's 7 horsepower better. We've ran the track testing. It's faster. I don't need to run that stuff yet. Just telling you right now, I don't need to run it yet. When I run it, everybody's going to know we're going to run it. So
wow.
That's my thought on that. And you'll know when we run that stuff.
Because you'll go faster.
We're going to go faster.
Wow. All right. I like it. And this is, I have no doubt that this interview will be played in all the shops of everybody that are the players. Well, that's just part of it, right? Like I should have asked them to submit questions for you, right, Matt? But no, you're putting it out there. You're chasing another championship. We're going back into the countdown. It's going to be great. And I think right now where the category is, we got a lot of good riders. We got a lot of good bikes. It feels pretty even right now at the moment. What more could you ask for?
Yeah. I mean, you can't, we the Suzuki's running good. The Harley motors are running good. They're separated now. I call them Harleys, the Vance Nines motors. They're running good in the V twins. And our S&S motors are running good. So, you know, we are all running, you know, within 300 to 400 every race of each other. So, I do think it's pretty fair right now. I still in my back of my mind, if they ever got on Jill's bike straightened out to where she could go A to B straight line, all the shit points and had the tune up in it, right. She would go 400 to 500 faster than anybody else out there, period. Hands down. I just know it. I see the back half numbers and I know what they can do and they just haven't done it yet. But, right now we're all equal. And that's why I'm so interested in making a Suzuki run, because I want to show everybody how fast those things will go. You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that love Suzuki Nation. There's a lot of people that love V-Twin Nation, you know. And to me, I don't care which one I'm on as long as I have a chance of winning races and I can go fast. And that's kind of where I'm at.
No, I like it.
And one more thing. Some people ask me, well, how do you know who's running what fuel, what not? Cyclone 17 is a red fuel. The SR18 is a yellow fuel. When you go to fuel check, we have clear cups at fuel check. So every time somebody gets their fuel out, everybody knows what fuel everybody's running. So that's how you know the colors are different.
Got it. Well, that's great that you anticipated that question. Like, how does he know? And now you know. Now, we had a guy yesterday asking about, you mentioned Suzuki Nation, right? And we were talking pro stock, and I think his name was Mark. It was Mark Watkins. And he said that, you can't buy a Buell, right? Like, where's the dealership? Suzuki is a real bike. And so a lot of the conversation that gets bantered about in pro stock, like, oh, the cars aren't stock enough. There's nothing stock on a car. That kind of entered our conversation about the bikes. And so then there was a little conversation going on about 600cc, no wheelie bar, real manufacturer bikes. Nobody really talks about that in pro stock motorcycle, as far as I know, but maybe I'm missing the conversation. This was the first time I had heard it. Where's your head at about the stockness and the direct manufacturer connection to the bikes and manufacturer support of the bikes? Is that ever really going to happen? Is that something that might happen down the road if the bikes looked more like a bike that they would sell at a dealership? Or is it like pro stock and that horse is already out of the gate? It's already evolved too far.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, you look at pro stock car, you can't go buy a pro stock car off the showroom floor. It just doesn't happen. Chevrolet, Dodge, Ford, they all tried the whole CoPro, the factory stock thing. And when it's all said and done, you got $200,000+ in a car that, you know, that's out there that you can buy off the showroom floor by the time you spend the money and get it to where it's competitive. Pro stock car, you have to build the chassis around the drivers, because they need to be, the speeds are going. There has to be a purpose-built chassis around them to protect the drivers and to protect the fans if it wrecks or whatever. They just mimic the body styles because they're limited on the wheelbase and all that. So I think they've done a great job of making those cars look as close as they can, especially without the hood scoops on them now, as to what a factory car would look like. I think they've done a great job. As far as our bikes, we're in the same situation. We are as close as we can be. You know, we have to put little scoops on our things because we have, you know, we have to get the air in the bikes and all that. They mentioned the Suzuki stuff. This is the last time a Suzuki TL or a Suzuki GSXR bike, that the bodies that they were currently running before this new Hayabusa was debuted, those were in the 1990s or early 2000s. So they haven't made that body style since then, you know, and nobody seemed to gripe because Suzuki still sells bikes, but nobody done a production, a current Suzuki bike up until Jerry has come out with this new Hayabusa body, which is pretty current. As far as the Buells, Buell was owned by Harley-Davidson. Harley-Davidson shut them down. Buell has now bought themselves back from Harley-Davidson, and you can buy those bikes straight from Buell now. They're not big enough yet to have them in dealerships yet, but if you go to the Buell website and you go and you can order a bike, just like the EBR stuff that we were running last year, it's now considered a Buell and not EBR, you can buy that stuff. you can't buy a drag bike, but you can buy a production bike that you can go right on the street with and ride it. So I think that the NHRA has done a good thing by letting us add a little pieces to the bikes to make them aerodynamic and to get us all in the same playing field. But we have to have a purpose-built chassis around our stuff too, besides just the manufacturer, because we're 60 foot. We got bigger tires on them. We have to do that kind of stuff to get performance out of them. We're all in the same rule book as far as wheelbase, weight ratio, well, not weight ratio, but rear tire size. So at that point, you know, the Suzuki's have to weigh 600 pounds. The V-twins have to weigh 640 pounds. So they're doing a good job of keeping everybody under control with keeping ETs and all straight. But there again, you can still buy a Buell. You can go buy a Buell right now. Get on the website and go buy one. You can buy a Suzuki Hayabusa right now from any dealership out there. Buell just is not big enough yet again to be in dealerships around the U.S. and around the world. But I'm sure they're coming. We're pushing their brands and trying to make them better and get more people to buy their stuff again.
That's great. No, I think that's a good answer. And I just think about, you know, people like pro stock motorcycle is a category that is well attended. We've got plenty of racers. A lot of people have the bikes. And why would we change that package around? Right. Unless there's something that I'm missing, because, you know, I've told you a million times, I'm not like a motorcycle person from birth. Right. It wasn't raised in a motorcycle family. I'm interested in motorcycles because of you guys. Like, to me, pro stock motorcycle is my origin point of everything motorcycles. It's related to that. And I know there are quicker and faster bikes, and there's, you know, turbochargers and nitrous and no wheelie bar and all that stuff. It's great, but I like what you guys are doing, and I appreciate it. Now, when is the first race that you guys are not running the bikes, but pro stock is on the track? Do you know when that is?
I'm going to say that's probably Brainerd. I think Brainerd, we're not going to Brainerd. And I think pro stock car goes to Brainerd. If not, it'll be Topeka. One of those two races. We don't run either one, and I think Pro Stock Car either runs both or one of them. So we're at Denver by ourselves with Top Fuel and Funny Car, and then I think we're all together at Pomona. We're all together at Sonoma. But I think Brainerd will be the race after, I think, Pomona, that we're not at.
So there was speculation about when is Matt going to run a pro stock car, and it's going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. It's got to happen at a race that you're not running pro stock motorcycle by rule. Is that still on the radar, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to do that sometime. It just got too hectic. And Mark Stock, Seth, my partner in the deal, everybody knows that 2 years ago, you know, during this whole pandemic, he put Bruno in the car, and you know, Bruno's getting to drive that car at races, and he's getting to drive this year some. So, you know, Mark is Mark's the big hand behind that deal of Bruno running that stuff. And eventually I'll get to do it some. You know, it's just I'm more focused right now on the pro stock bike stuff. And maybe NHRA will lighten the load up a little bit and let, you know, us run two professional categories again like they used to could back in the day. I've asked them for it. We're pushing for it a little bit. I know some other people would jump around and do it. I know Antron wants to drive a Top Fuel car. He wants to drive a bike again. So, you know, maybe with Antron pushing it a little bit too, maybe they'll make it happen again to where, you know, you can run multiple pro classes, you know, in NHRA. But right now you can only run one pro and one sportsman, or, you know, multiple sportsmen, but, you know, we can do that. But I mean, back up one thing on the subject of the motorcycles. Anybody that wants to go and buy a pro stock bike, whether you're a Suzuki Nation, V-Twin Nation, whatever, you can go, and I'm not giving this a plug out for Vance and Hines or whatever, but you can go buy that Vance and Hines Hayabusa bike, just like Joey and Corey's got and Angel's got. You can go buy that from them. It's $160,000. You can go buy it, and you can go be race ready. You can go to S&S and buy a motor like what we have. Call Cosman Chassis and get a chassis made. You can do that for around the $140,000 range, $130,000 range. Or you can go buy the Vance Nines V-Twin, which I can't afford that. You can go buy their whole package from what I'm understanding. It's like a $250,000 to get a bike and a motor. So anybody that's got plenty of money and they want to come pro stock bike racing, the water is great. And come on in, because we need all the people we can get.
I like it. I like it. But hey, don't do it if you're going to be a wallflower and not talk the talk as you try to walk the walk, too, because that's what makes it fun. Matt, any final thoughts for the audience out there as you know, head into this weekend? I don't know what you're doing this weekend. Next weekend, of course, we're all headed to Denver as the Western Swing begins. I'm looking forward to it. But 4th of July, what'd you do? And what do you got planned for this upcoming weekend?
Well, Angie had a little birthday party for her sister at the house the other day for the 4th of July. And, you know, she had a pool party with the family come over. And I went up there and spent about 2 hours. But me and Trent worked in the shop. We had some heads to do. We dynoed a motor. We got all that stuff done. Just preparing kind of a new piece for Denver for me to run and try and see if it's any better. If not, I'll put my regular stuff back in. But I'm just working all week. We got a lot to do to get ready. We were originally going to have 3 bikes at Denver. Now we're going to have 4 bikes at Denver. I can't tell you who the 4th bike's going to be. It's going to be a surprise. Somebody new to our camp. But they'll be on the 4th bike at Denver. And, you know, just hard working here in the shop. Just working away and getting stuff going. And, you know, that's about all my life is right now. It's just... Our downtime is during the winter time, you know, to where we can actually do something and relax a little bit, but we're nonstop trying to keep this team rolling.
Professional racers, professional race team. I love it. And I'm excited. What about your dad? What's the, I saw that there was a rules change with the automatic shift in Pro Mod. I know he had been lobbying for that. And after I got a kind of a walkthrough about why that makes such a difference with the nitrous cars in particular, it looks like NHRA is agreeing and he'll be able to have some customers back out there. Are we going to see him a little more often now?
Yeah, I still think his next race is going to be Indy. I don't think he'll go to Brainerd. It's 21 hours from here to Brainerd for one race. I don't think he'll go there, but he's currently up in, you know, I'll let it loose, I guess. He's currently up at Bickles picking up a brand new car.
All right.
And it's not a nitrous car. And so everybody's going to see what that is before long. And, you know, he took one nitrous car up there, and he's coming back with a different manufacturer, not a manufacturer. It's still a Camaro, but it's a different power plant in it. And he's going to be racing it some. I don't know if he's going to race NHRA this year with it, but he's going to race it somewhere around here. And if it does good, he'll run the NHRA toward the end of the year with it. But, you know, I think he's excited about that, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Look at that. Matt Smith breaking rules, going against the, you know, the not keeping secrets for family members, just putting it all out there. I love that. And while we're on it, hey, family member, Scott Speed, the SRX series. He had a very eventful race. Yeah, he was in the mix. And I can't help but watch Scott and think about you guys. Like, you know, that's the Smith family out there racing together. It was close.
Yeah, he was beating it up with that guy the last, I thought with 4 laps to go, they ran 2 or 3 laps just side by side, pounding on each other. And I was like, this is going to be good. I mean, it was a good race. I wish it could have lasted all the way to the last lap, but Scott got loose and ended up finishing 3rd. You know, he stayed on the podium, but man, what a race that was. I was really excited. It's a good series. He's not scheduled to do any more this year, but I think he's going to do quite a few more next year with that deal. And it's fun to watch. I enjoy watching it. I need to get one in person and watch it, because I've been to his rally car stuff and watched it in person. And man, I've even got to do a ride around with Tanner Faust and the rally car stuff. And it was really, really cool. It's a different perspective. And yeah, he did good. I'm proud of him. He did really good.
So let me ask you, when you guys go race at, where are we going? St. Louis. They've got the go-kart track inside the road course over there. Everybody says that you're the guy, like you're quicker than everybody and you're the guy, right? What happens when you race against a guy like Scott Speed, who's like a karting champion, former Formula One guy? Can you hang with him, or does he extend beyond your abilities?
Scott taught me some stuff back in the Red Bull days of running go-karts. He took me to PRI when they had the whole go-kart thing on the parking lot. And he taught me some things there, and I did really good down there. And that's how I'm as fast as I am on the go-karts now, is because of Scott Speed.
Got it.
But when I go race with Scott, he's in a different league. He's pretty badass with the way he drives a kart and the way he drives anything, for that fact. He's got a great feel for dirt, asphalt. He's very smooth on the pedal. And man, just a talented driver. I mean, he's raced everything from Formula One cars to SRX cars now. He's won, you know, gold medal in the world on X Games. So I mean, he's just a talented guy, and proud to call him my brother-in-law, because you know, we have a fun time. He was up here the other day at the pool party. So it was fun deal for him, and a good deal for him.
Drag racing, no interest, or like you guys working on them, do something sometime, add another discipline to your resume. Has that subject come up?
Nah, I'd kick his butt in drag racing. I help him a lot with the rallycross stuff of, you know, they flash the lights in green, and we've told them where they need to change their clutch stuff and gear ratios, and they've adapted the Subaru stuff's adapted that pretty good, and it's made them real a lot better with that rallycross stuff, because you know the first part is drag racing, and then the rest, you know, it's just all, you know, rally stuff. So sure. We've definitely helped him get there, but yeah, I'd love for him to get on a bike one time. I think he laid a street bike over one time, so he doesn't ride two wheels very good. He sticks to four wheels.
I get it. You don't have to balance like that, that part of it, right? You just strap in and hope everything works out. Hey, Matt, great conversation. Congratulations on winning. I know this is not going to be your last WFO appearance of the year. Certainly the past couple of years is a good indication you're going to get some more, but I'm looking at these point standings. You got Eddie in 10th, Drew on the outside, Jerry on the outside. Angie, you know, she's not safe by any means, just like 30 some odd points ahead of 10th. So it's going to be a wild year, and there's going to be good bikes that don't make the countdown. That makes it entertaining for us. So we'll all be watching. Good luck to you, and we'll see you in Denver.
Thank you. And yeah, I know Drew and Eddie's going to be up there in the top 10. They missed two races, and they're going to be there. They'll be there to battle for that championship in the year. But, you know, the one thing I want to say real quick, I can't wait to go to Bandamere, Sonoma, Pomona. All these fans, I'm so happy to be back racing in front of y'all. Come by the trailer. Let's sign autographs. Let's take pictures. I'm so thankful to be back, to getting back to normal in this, the United States of America. And just glad the fans get to go racing with us, because it's no fun racing out there if you don't have people in the stands to do it. Just, there was just something about last year that wasn't quite there every time you went in a racetrack and you couldn't hear the roar coming back up the return road or vice versa. So just glad to get back to normal, and can't wait to see all the fans out there at these next three races.
Amen to that. Totally agree. They bring an energy. The roar of the crowd, the people that support you, the people that root against you. There's an energy there. That's what our sport is all about. And the machines are amazing, but it's the people that keep you coming back. Thank you for saying that. And I totally agree to the fans out there in Bandamere and in California. We're coming, baby. Here we come. It's going to be great. Matt, thank you so much. We'll see you out there.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
There goes Matt Smith with us here on WFO Radio, a four-time champ, most recent race winner. And he and Angie doubled up. She won the ice cream eating contest, and he won the actual race. That was pretty cool. And boy, all the news, right? Like we got Tricky Ricky in a car with a different power adder. I'm guessing it's a centrifugal supercharger. That's just a guess. And that he's got a Suzuki coming on the way, and that he's not using the Cyclone 17, but everybody else is. So at any point, he can pick up a decent amount of performance. He used to work with Steve Johnson early on. You know, like, wow, what a great interview. And that's why I love, you know, when I forgot to ask him, though. Bummer. When are you getting a haircut, Matt? No, the hair is working. The hair is working. All right, put your comments in the comments section, and I will read your comments. They do not have to be about Matt Smith. Tomorrow, Brett Kepner scheduled 2 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to pick up the conversation where we last left off with Brett, because it was like half an interview with Brett Kepner. So we're going to do that tomorrow. Maybe Ernie Francis, maybe who battled Scott Speed in that SRX race. I have been contacted, and perhaps he is going to be available. We'll see, you know, being from sunny South Florida and all, we'll get to know Ernie. It might be one of those two WFO in one day kind of things. And that's why you should just subscribe. Everybody just subscribe to the podcast, definitely. But also here on social media, YouTube, I put the YouTube link up there. I love when everybody watches on YouTube. It's great stuff. Not as far as the haircut goes. Yeah, not as far as the haircut goes. So we'll see. Now, while you're putting your comments in the comments section, I do want to tell you about the people who make it possible. I like to name check our sponsors over and over again, because it's about repetitiveness. There will be a time where you're building an engine and you need some piston rings. And who are you going to think of? Is it going to be, who's it going to be? It's going to be TotalSeal.com. And remember, on Friday, we're going to do a Hidden Horsepower Live, which those are very informative. If you heard the last one, Billy Godbold, you know that you can't quantify what you can't measure. And so, like with me, with my own engine, that is now coming out of the race car. I'm thinking about like machine shops and stuff. Like, I got to know what kind of tools they have. I've got to know what kind of machines they have. I got to know all that stuff all of a sudden. Think about all that I've learned thanks to Hidden Horsepower. You can too. Check out the podcast, but really it's an exercise about the piston rings. And it's not just for engines, compressors, old tractors, one-offs, antiques. They can make rings for anything. So give them a call. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, where you can drive a dragster. You and your group of friends can go drive dragsters at Frank Hawley's. And I think that's just a great program. Anything that gives you the experience that all these people have had and shows you why, like, these things are so much fun. You can't even imagine. It's impossible to quantify. And samtech.edu. The School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. It's a school, guys. It's a school. Let's say you're a relatively young person and you're watching WFO and you're thinking, man, you know, I'd really like to get involved in racing as a crew member, as a crew chief, as an engine builder, as a machinist, have my career in that field. Well, Samtech is how you get started. And it's a great foundational education. Plus, they've got connections with a lot of different shops and teams and, you know, Boeing and aerospace industry where they place their graduates. And I think it's great. You should check them out, samtech.edu. And then there's Marvin Rodak, which is nothing but fun, right? Get some coffee, enjoy it. Get a barbecue grill, enjoy it. Hot sauces and spice rubs, 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. Tell him you heard about it on WFO and the rest will take care of itself. Nitro Fish, they do our 10th anniversary gear, and I really appreciate those guys. Hit the trailer up, and then our WFO store on WFOradio.com. So yeah, I was a little annoyed yesterday just because I had a little back and forth with the PayPal folks and, you know, the fulfillment, but I'm feeling better today though. I was, you guys caught the negative. That's why you got to watch every day, man. You got to watch and listen every day. What kind of mood is Joe going to be in as he's starting to put some of his gripes and grief out there? Yes, he is. And then soon I will begin attacking people. And that's when the real fun begins, right? When I start using this forum for evil. It's been generally positive so far. I'm not going to do that. Come on now. Shout out to the Patreons. We just brought on another new Patreon, patreon.com/WFO radio. It's for VIP listeners that want to pay a little something to support the cause, right? To support the WFO cause. And you get bonus material and you get to connect with all of our listeners. Bonus material, VIP listener club, that kind of stuff. As we mentioned, Brett Kepner tomorrow. Let's see what everybody's got to say in the comments section. Great show today. Thanks. Looking forward to hearing from Brett. Yes. And that's fast and loose. We're putting it together. We're working hard to put it together. He's got things. I got things. I think, though, we're going to be able to do it at 2 o'clock. So just be ready. And what I'm trying to do is train the audience to not have any kind of expectations for time and schedule. And we did one at like 9:30 a.m. not long ago, right? It was Kyle Larson. It was like a morning show. When you get the notification, click on the show and just know that there's always new content. The final rounds just lacked excitement. I believe that is sarcasm. I noticed in Norwalk on race day, after the crowds left due to rain, the final rounds just lacked excitement. I don't know that I agree with that because you had some of the greatest rivalries in our sports with Brittany and Steve and Greg and Erica and Steve and Matt. But the feedback from the fans were definitely lacking because it was rain delayed and many people decided to leave. But that's their loss. Like, the heck with them. Sorry. I told a guy and his son, and I gave him a WFO sticker. They met Steve in the hotel. They had found a penny and they presented the lucky penny to Steve. And so now here it is. It's like 7 o'clock and they're tired. They got a 10-hour drive back to Pittsburgh and they're like, oh man, we're thinking about leaving, but we gave this penny to Steve and Steve is going to win the race. And we think, and I was like, you guys can't leave. You can't leave. You're stuck. You got to stay. You're in this now. And so I convinced them to stay and then Steve doesn't win. And I guess I'm to blame, right? Well, they gave Steve the penny. But now they've got a connection to Steve Johnson. The good stuff is for the people who stick around. I never understand. Look, I've been going to drag races now for my whole life. I have figured out how to go to a drag race. If there's anything I know how to do in my life, it's how to take in a drag race. And there are some things that you don't do. You do not leave before the final rounds. Because then you haven't taken in the drag race. You've seen cars go down the track. That's not drag racing. Cars go down there. Yeah, we watched half a first round and then we went home. No, I've done it. I've lived it. The Gator Nationals, the traffic, many years. 1 year, we decided, let's beat the traffic. Let's try that. So we ran out. We're on the crossover bridge. That tells you how old it was. There was a crossover bridge there. We're watching the final round, trying to see who won. It was so unfulfilling. It was terrible. It was horrible. And we never did it again. And so what's the alternate of avoiding traffic? You stay for the finals and for the winner circle and you walk the pits for a half hour after the race. That's when all kinds of good stuff happens. And all the drivers are just hanging out there, just hanging out. People waited in a line for like 40 minutes to get that guy's autograph early on in the day. And now you can walk up and take a picture and shake his hand and get an autograph. And, you know, maybe he'll give you a part off his car, him or her. Like, it's just, you got to commit to it. You got to commit to what you're doing. You're a drag racing fan. Commit to being the fan. Get there early. Stay there late. Don't leave ahead of the crowd. Watch the other people go out and sit in the traffic. And what are they doing out in the traffic anyway? They're just waiting. They're stuck. They're battling. It's bumper to bumper. There's a fender bender. They're caught. They're calling their insurance company. It's a nightmare. Why? What benefit do they get? They're getting home 35 minutes ahead of you, an hour and a half. And now they're home, back in their boring lives, looking at the same things over and over again, watching reruns of Matlock and Murder, She Wrote. When you could be at a drag race, you paid the money, you're already there, but you're going to leave. Now, if you got kids and the kids got to get ready for school, I still support staying at the drag race because of the unprecedented educational opportunity at the drag race to meet cool people who are involved in STEM, science, technology, engineering, Matt, and the arts. When you look at a bike like Matt Smith's, all the great paintwork that has gone into that, right? The lessons learned at the drag races outweigh the lesson learned between, 7:45 and 9:45 a.m. at a regular school. I support that. I'm telling you. Yeah, I still remember to this day, the time my mom got me out of school to go see Return of the Jedi. Like those kind of things, you can't quantify them. Being at a drag race for the final rounds, watching the winner's circle celebration, going to the pit, seeing the Capco boys with their horn, going around, being crazy. That's where the value is. And you're going to come out there, you're going to watch first round, watch second round, and then leave, and then just be home. No, I, that's not how you do it. And you don't sit in your seats the whole time either, people. You don't do that. You get in your seat and you sit in your seat and you're in your seat the whole time watching the race. No, you got to move around, not unlike a road course race. You watch one from down the track, you got to check them out from 1,000 feet, maybe on the rail, you got to get close to the fence. Maybe you're back at your favorite team's pit before they get there after a run and you watch them service the car. Like there's so many different things to do at a drag race. It's just people need someone to explain. If only there was a person. If only there was a person who could do that. All right, here we go. Matt Smith Racing rocks. Who is the mystery driver going to be? That's interesting. The mystery driver. Come on, virtual producers. Go figure that out. Awesome show. Scott says, great show. Thank you, Scott. Great. The energy, that is. Let's see. Great show today. Looking forward to Brett tomorrow. Saw that already. Great channel, Joe. I like the reality of it all. Yeah, this is definitely reality. This is reality TV radio. For those of you watching on the YouTube, I want to do more on the YouTube. There are people getting rich off YouTube, man. We are doing a nice little show here. It's a lot of fun. We're bringing on sponsors. But yeah, it's total reality. Matt needs a haircut. Maybe Scotty Cannon, Mohawk first. The ladies love it, though. And Matt is smart enough to do what the ladies tell him to do. Big thumbs up. Stay at the race. Stay until the traffic is gone and they kick you out. LOL. Exactly. Monica, who's my buddy, she likes Godzilla and so do I. Tell Brett to charge his phone. Yeah, no, we're going to do a whole thing. Phone charged in advance. I'll text him right now. He might be watching. I always said you can relate life to racing, especially drag racing. All my analogies, not all of them, but most of my sporting analogies. I don't want to tell you that one, but I thought of one the other day. I think I might have to tell you. My kid never goes to school on Friday when the races are here. Yes. Hector, Jim, I thought Hector. I was like, nah, is really, heck, I don't know. Jim, I don't know. I don't see that happening. Hello, WFO Joe. Will you be in Denver? Why eat show as always? I definitely will be eating. I will be in Denver. And I believe at the rest of them. Superbike Mike from Miami Hollywood Speedway. Wouldn't that be cool? All right, there you go. Good show. Now, I was just going to say, like, the analogy thing to drag racing. And I do the same thing. Like, everything comes into drag racing. Like, there's something. So, you know, we haven't talked about the pandemic and anything in a long time. And that's amazing. It's amazing because a year ago, we were doing happy hour shows and we were thinking about, like, oh my gosh, is this going to end? Are we going to get back racing? What's going to happen? And now look at us. We're back. We're back through the hard work of a lot of people, like the people who created and innovated the vaccine and the people who got the vaccine out there. But now you're hearing, like, oh, Delta variant, right? And so I know there are a lot of people that believe that it's all BS. And I wonder, like, at some point, like, you know, the evidence kind of shown that it's not BS, like right from the beginning, like, oh, this whole thing is BS. Oh, well, maybe it's not. Well, they're just trying to scare it. Well, maybe it's not. And so here you go. They're telling you about this Delta variant and parts of the country, et cetera, and so on, are kind of overwhelmed by it now. And it's becoming a thing. It's becoming a thing. And if you're vaccinated, chances are you're okay, but it's becoming a thing. And so I was wondering aloud the other day, like, why would you not? Why would you not now? Now that they're spinning off variants and they're, why would you not get the vaccine? And I had a lot of people say to me, like, oh, well, you know, and they gave me their reasoning and I had to accept the reasoning. But then I came up with an analogy and this is it. You know, the NHRA safety safari, in my analogy, they are the medical professionals, right? The NHRA safety safari are the medical professionals. And in my analogy, the NHRA, I don't know exactly, but like oil retention devices is what we're talking about. Like all the things that the NHRA asks the racers to put on their cars that cause a little bit of a hassle, but they put them on the cars so that we don't oil down the track. Right. And, you know, maybe you don't want to put that stuff on your car, but NHRA makes you do it. Why? So that you're not forcing the safety safari out there endlessly to clean up oil. And it does. There's other it's not a perfect analogy, but there are other reasons, right? Like these people who are working in emergency rooms that are healthcare workers, they just came off the worst year of their existence, like nonstop, endless hours of working and stress and horrible situations. Like we can never appropriately thank them for what they have done. Those of us who have known people who have passed and those of us who don't know people who have passed, like those folks. And so now what's happening? They say 99.8% of the people that are in there with the healthcare workers are unvaccinated people. So it's a total choice. It's just a choice. Every one of them that's in there chose to be there because they didn't get the vaccine. I'm not telling you what to do. I know what I did. But boy, those healthcare workers, and I think of the safety safari, right? Like we're going to roll them out there hour after hour cleaning up oil because you didn't want to put the oil retention device on your car because it was an inconvenience. I didn't like it. It weighed too much. I didn't want to do it. Right? And but of course, NHRA, in that analogy, they said, no, everybody's got to do it. It's mandatory. It's a rule. It's not optional. It's a rule. You have to do it because we cannot let you wear our safety safari down into the ground and cause them to work endlessly, cleaning up oil endlessly because you didn't feel like doing something. Isn't that what we're doing to the healthcare workers? Just thinking about drag racing here, folks. And I know there's one or two of you out there that probably hate me for bringing it up. I just wonder, 99.6%? You want this thing to be over? Over? I do. I want to never talk about it ever again. That's my goal. This is just get it to the point where we don't have to ever talk about it ever again. But apparently people are, let's see. Joe, you and I have a mutual friend that will tell people it's not. Yeah. I really think that it's important to be flexible with your opinions. My bad, great show. Hope always to see you on race day. You can sign my NHRA flag of 17 years. Oh, I know this guy. What's up, Dave? Yeah, man, I love the fact that you're bringing that flag around. Are you doing a pit walk yet for NHRA? Not yet. Not yet. And there's Super Butt Mike. Not yet. But that's another element. Like, the track walk is back. How great was the track walk out there in Norwalk? It was incredible. Like, the most well-attended track walk in the history of track walks, I think. And really, you don't have the ability to call me on that if it's not true. Because who knows? Follow me on the gram and on Twitter and wherever else. And, of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, the audio-only podcast where you can hear Ignition. We want to build that YouTube up. People getting rich on YouTube. People getting rich. Let's get start blowing up junk cars and stuff. I'm fine with it. Not really my thing. But definitely when we do ultimately battle Flying Ryan Ehler, poor Ryan. People are calling him Yella. Big Dave. Dave is like, oh, man, you guys are Yella. It's just a little storm. Now, I think that, first of all, heard from Ryan, the track is flooded. Flooded out. No racing tonight at the track we were going to. So, postpone. Big thanks to Matt Smith and Angie. Really, probably more Angie for participating in our ice cream eating contest. Comedy first. That's number one. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time. See you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. Brett Kepner, the conclusion of our great conversation that started early on. Maybe Ernie Francis at some point. Hidden Horsepower on Friday. We'll see you then. WFO.